Galatians chapter number 6, Galatians chapter number 6, if you're able to stand with us in reverence to the Word of God and prayer, appreciate the testimonies tonight and thank God for each one of them and do ask you to pray for us. I normally don't get tired. I don't get tired, but I don't have no trouble going to sleep most of the time. Sometimes I do, I reckon, but we drove much of the day to get home today and just got in just a little bit tired, but do got a message on my heart tonight. And so I pray the Lord will speak to us and that He'll help us. I ask you to pray for us these next few moments that we would deliver the burden that's on our heart. Galatians chapter number 6, a familiar text tonight, but I think a very good warning that we all need to be, myself included, we all need to be reminded of. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting." And then he said in verse 9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Lord, I want to thank you tonight for the privilege to be in the house of God. And Lord, I don't know any other place, as it's already been said, that I would rather be than be in church. And Lord, I'm thankful to be in this church and to hear the good singing that we've heard tonight and the testimonies. Thank you for your people tonight and for their obedience to, Lord, just to get up and brag on you. And I pray now, God, that you'd take the reading of thy word. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts in a personal manner. And Lord, I ask you to save the lost, reclaim the backslid, and God, do an eternal work in all of our lives. I pray that you'd be pleased with our worship. And I ask, Lord, that most of all, you'd receive maximum glory for everything that'll be said and done tonight. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory that's due to your name. For we do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I want you to notice here in this passage of Scripture, we know that the Apostle Paul is closing the book of Galatians here. And that in this passage, I want you to notice in verse number 7, he says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now, I want you to notice the proclamation here that Paul makes in verse number 7. He said, "Be not deceived." And I think that's important to remember because Paul is talking to a group of people that were deceived. He asked them, he said, "Who hath bewitched you?" And you know, it's amazing how easy you and I can be deceived if we don't know the truth. Amen? What I mean by that is, it's why the Bible says to study in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, if you and I don't study our Bible on a regular basis, here's what will happen. We will veer from sound doctrine. It doesn't mean that we don't know it. It doesn't mean that we can't quote it, but it won't be fresh in our heart. It won't be fresh in our mind. And what happens is when we don't study the word of God, we open ourselves up to all types of theology and philosophy of this world. And it's that much easier to be deceived. Amen? If you want to continue in sound doctrine, then you have to read that sound doctrine. Amen? And so there's the proclamation that Paul is closing this out with. He said, "Be not deceived." And I would say there's different types of deception. There is satanic deception, and then there is self-deception. Amen? There's a lot of different deceivers out there in this world. But here's the proclamation. Know the truth, and you never have to worry about being deceived. Amen? And so there's the proclamation. Then there's the promise in this verse. Be not deceived. Now here's what he doesn't want us to be deceived about. God is not mocked. Amen? I'm telling you, God is not going to be mocked. Men may mock God's name here on earth, but God in the end, one day they will stand before Him and they'll be judged by the very one that they tried to mock His name. But what I'm saying is, God is not going to be mocked. He's going to have the final say. God's will is going to be accomplished. And that is a promise that you and I will not be able to mock God and get by with it. Amen? That is a firm promise. If someone goes out here and they try to mock God's name, you rest assured there's coming a reckoning day. There's coming a judgment day. There's coming a day, the Bible said, when every knee is going to bow. That means my knee. That means your knee. That means the knee of everyone that's ever professed atheism. That means the knee of everyone that's ever tried to go against God. There's coming a day when every knee, even in hell itself, is going to bow before God. And they're going to announce that that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And so there's the promise, and there's the proclamation, and then there's the principle. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 7. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, the world has a saying tonight, and I read this verse the other day, and this thought came to me. I don't use many of the world's sayings, but I'm going to use one tonight. Because this saying, whether they realize it or not, it is a principle that we read in this phrase here. For whatsoever a man soweth, of that shall he also reap. The world has a saying that said, what goes around comes around. Well, that's what God said before the world ever said. Whatsoever man soweth, of that shall he also reap. And I want to preach on that thought a few minutes tonight, on what goes around, eventually it does come around. What goes around comes around. You see, Paul is going to talk about the law of sowing and reaping in this text here. And the principle that he gives, you'll notice that it is a singular. He said, for whatsoever a man soweth of that shall he also reap. He tells us that it makes it a singular principle. He makes it a sure principle. You can rest assured that what you sow and what I sow in this life, we're going to reap. Paul makes it a very simple principle. You see, you and I don't have to have a theology degree to figure this out tonight. What goes around comes around, because what we sow, what we put in our life, what you put in the ground, eventually it's going to come up in its own time, in its own season. And so Paul tells us that it is scriptural that what goes around in life is going to come around. And we should note in these verses that we've read tonight that the word reap is mentioned four times in these verses that we have read. And with these four times here that we find the word reap, we also find four principles tonight considering the matter of sowing and reaping. What goes around comes around. Rest assured that whatever you do in this life, you're going to be rewarded for it as well. You see, what do you mean? You say, preacher, if I go sow my wild oats, you're going to face it in this life. And it may cause you great consequences even in the next life. What I'm saying tonight, well, nobody gets by with sin. Can I get an amen right there? Nobody gets by with living their own way and doing their own thing. If you think, well, I've got some plans of my own, I'm going to get out there and do it, and everything's going to be okay, preacher. Everything's going to be all right. I got news for you. It's not going to be all right, amen? Because if it was, you would be the first human in history, in all the annals of history, that could go your own way, do your own thing, and not have consequences as a result of it. I'm going to tell you, from Adam all the way through, if you don't believe that tonight, all you got to do is go back and start reading the Bible. Adam had consequences for his sin. Cain had consequences for his sin. Jacob had consequences for his sin. As godly as Abraham was, he had consequences for his sin. Samson had consequences for his sin. I'm telling you, what we sow in life is what we're going to reap. I want us to consider these principles tonight of what goes around does come around. Consider in verse 7 the sowing here. I want you to notice that a man will reap what he sows, for whatsoever. That word whatsoever has to do with anything that we sow. A man is going to reap, he's going to reap what he sows. The question in my life, the question in your life tonight is, what kind of sowing am I doing? Amen? There's a negative and there's a positive. It doesn't all have to be bad, but what we sow, that what we must consider, what are we sowing tonight? What am I sowing? What are you sowing? A man will reap what he sows, and then a man will reap where he sows. You think about this, you go out tonight and you go down to a bar and you drink and you party, and you sow some wild oats down there, guess what? You're going to reap from right there, amen? I mean, if you was to go out tonight and if you was to get with the wrong crowd and was to break in and was to steal something tonight, guess what? You're going to reap right where you sowed those oats at, amen? That sin, I'm saying a man reaps what he sows, a man reaps where he sows, and then a man reaps way more than he sows. You know, when you put a tomato seed in the ground, you put it in a little cup, And you nurture, you take that seed out, go back a little further, you take it out of that tomato plant, or out of that tomato, and you lay it, you take them little seeds, and you lay them on a napkin there, and you put them up in the window, and you let them dry out real good, and then you take them little seeds, and you get them little cups, and maybe just about that big, of that just that much soil, and you put a seed in each one of those little cups, and you water, and you sit it out there in front of the window, and you let the sun come in. It's not going to be too long. That ground's going to break up, and listen, there's going to be a little sprig come out of that, but it doesn't stop there, does it? Amen. You know what's going to happen? That sprig is going to keep growing, and finally you're going to have a pretty decent sized plant in that cup, and then you're going to take it out there somewhere, and you're going to put it down in the ground in a bigger area, and then that little what was once a sprig now is a plant, but then all of a sudden it becomes a stalk. Amen. And that plant, tomato plant, grows up. And I remember as a kid when we used to put out about 150 tomato plants over seven different gardens that we had. And my dad would take Epsom salt and pour around those tomato plants. It'd make them greener. It'd make them vibrant. It would make them grow. And they'd grow so tall. Them pink German tomato plants would grow so tall that he'd have to take his pocket knife and cut the top of them out, because they'd grow bigger than the baskets that we had made. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying you could go down through there, down that row, been down through there many times, and look at that plant, and I'd see a tomato here, and I'd see a tomato there, and then I'd see another tomato. But you know what you'd have to do? You'd have to lift up all them different leaves, because I'll tell you something, there's more there than what you're looking at. Amen. And then you'd see a yellow bloom on the end, and you'd come back in another day or two, and guess what? Where there was one tomato, all of a sudden now there's three. Amen. About what I'm saying to you tonight, it started with just one little seed on a napkin. Amen. But listen, it began to grow, and you reaped way more than just one tomato. All of a sudden, you got a whole row of tomato plants with all kinds. That's the way sin is tonight. You sow one seed of sin, and you will reap far more than you ever thought you would reap. You know, them plants, hadn't thought about them in years, but we'd go down through there, and we'd get those tomatoes, and we'd make tomato juice, tomato sandwiches. We'd take green fried green tomatoes. I mean, we had them. We had plenty of them. We'd give them away. They just kept producing. We'd can, and we'd have a pantry there. Had all kinds of tomato juice in it. I think I was about 23 years old before I drank a V8 out of a V8. And, you know, I just a little V8 can. I stopped at a store one day and thought, man, I hadn't had some tomato juice in a long time. And I poured that up. And, I mean, I literally spit it out. Amen. I said, man, that ain't nothing but flavored water. So that is. I'm talking about salty tomato juice that runs down the back of your throat real ice cold. Amen. I mean, settles in your stomach and gives you an ulcer by the end of the night. Amen. That's the kind I'm talking about. That's the only kind I ever drank growing up. And what I'm saying to you is this, is that we had so many of those plants, so many of those tomatoes that we couldn't handle all of them. They was more than what we needed, and we gave them away to neighbors. And finally, it would come to the end of the summer, and the plants were just about gone. But you know what? You could still walk down through there, and a plant just about be completely gone. You know what you'd see? There'd be another plant, there'd be another tomato coming out. And sometimes, even in the next spring, after everything had been tilled up and ready for the new year, you'd go out there and out of the row somewheres, here'd be another sprig. And you'd pull that thing out. You're like, man, I didn't plant that. But it came up anyway. You see, tonight, we have to think about, what are we sowing? Because what goes around does come around. I remember as a kid one time throwing out some scraps, and there's watermelon seeds in it. And a vine began to grow. And I told my dad, I said, I want to keep this. He said, well, you can't keep it right here. So I dug it up and took it somewhere else and put it and nurtured that thing and got a big old watermelon out of it. And you know, but it was by accident. Didn't even plan it. I'm so proud of that watermelon. I didn't want to let my brother eat any of it. Well, you didn't put no work in it. But you know what? I think about that accidental sowing, but it still produced. Consider the sowing. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Then consider the selfishness in verse 8. Here we find it again. He that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. Now, sowing to the flesh tonight is selfishness, isn't it? It's selfish sowing when we sow to our flesh because it's all about us. And I say us tonight. The Bible said that every man loves and nurtures his flesh. And we love ourselves. It's just we don't have to teach ourselves to love ourselves. We just automatically love ourselves. And you must consider not only the sowing, but consider the selfishness here about this these principles that whatsoever a man soweth, he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. Selfish sowing is fleshly sowing. Amen. People say, well, I'm just going to do this for me, or it's time that I do something for myself, or maybe this is one of the worst sayings that a Christian wouldn't make this, but it's the worst saying that a saved person can make. It's say, well, I deserve this. You ever heard people say that? Or sometimes somebody that likes somebody say, well, you know, you deserve that. No, listen, never tell anybody they deserve anything, because the only thing we deserve tonight is hell. I don't deserve anything. Well, you worked hard for that job. You deserve that. No, you don't deserve that. That's God's blessing on your life. That's God's mercy. That's God's grace. You say, well, I went to college. It's God's grace you could go to college. It's God's grace you didn't get killed in a car wreck on your way to college. I mean, I'm telling you, it's the grace of God we got out of the bed this morning. Amen? I mean, it is just the grace. And selfish sowing is fleshly sowing. He that soweth to the flesh. And then I would say selfish sowing is failed sowing. You say, how do you know that? The Bible said, he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap what? Corruption. Anytime we sow to self, we never reap anything eternal. It's temporary. It's corruption. It's here and it's gone. Amen? And he that sowed to the flesh shall the flesh. It's failed sowing. Living our life for self is a failure. Living in, you know, you take Samson. Samson had so much potential, didn't he? The Spirit of God came upon him, moved within the camp when he was a young man. And Samson had so much, God had given him great ability. The will of God was that he was going to raise him up to be one of the judges of Israel. And God did that. And Samson had so much promise. He is in the hall of faith because Samson didn't know God. But when you look at Samson's life, in spite of what we know about Hebrews 11, Samson's life is just a tragic failure, isn't it? You come to the end of Samson's life, and this is what you have to say. So much potential, but what a waste. He is stronger than anybody. God had blessed, but here's the thing. Samson, where did it start, Samson? He wouldn't listen to his parents. I want that woman down there at Timnath. Get her for me. He started passing by a lion one day. He wasn't supposed to touch a dead carcass. He wasn't even, you know, Samson, before that, had he not been in that vineyard, he should have never been in that vineyard. See, he was someplace he wasn't supposed to be, and a lion came out. You say, oh, but Samson, he shredded that lion to pieces. He did. I'm going to tell you what that was. It was the mercy of God. He should have never been in a place where he had to face the lion anyway. And it was God's mercy that he didn't die. God helped him. And you would have thought that would have been enough for Samson to say, man, I shouldn't have been there. That's why he didn't tell his parents about that. Had he told his parents about that, they'd ask him, where's that at, Samson? Where was you? Then he would have had to tell his parents everything. Well, I was down there in that vineyard. Well, what was you doing in a vineyard? Don't you have a vow? So he didn't tell his parents. He hid it from them. That line comes out. He kills that lion. You would have thought at that point Samson would have said, you know what, bowed his head and said, Lord, thank you. I shouldn't have been here. I almost lost my life. And I'll never come back here again. But he did. And he went a little bit further this time because that carcass, he shouldn't touch the dead carcass. But he reached in there. He found something sweet in that sinful place. There's pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. Samson had no idea when he reached in the carcass of that lion to get that honey out. Oh, he felt like he was doing something that nobody knew. Well, he had killed this lion. He was relishing in what had happened. Samson, see, everything Samson does is to gratify his own flesh. He keeps sowing to the flesh. And he reaches inside that carcass and he gets that honey out, not knowing that that's going to lead to so many other things in his life. If you could have stopped Samson and said, Samson, listen, one of these days the Philistines are going to pluck your eyes out. And you're not going to die a death with the Israelites. You're going to die with the Philistines. If only Samson could have seen that sowing to the flesh is failed sowing. It's fleshly sowing. It's forbidden sowing. God gives us a warning. He that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. If we sow to the flesh, then God forbids that, but it is also familiar sowing because every one of us tonight knows what it is to sow to our flesh. It prospers as nothing. It benefits as nothing to sow to the flesh. You say, well, preacher, I'm not out sinning, and maybe that's true, but look at your life as a whole and ask yourself, what are you doing with your life? Where are you going with your life? Who's running your life? Is it God running your life, or are you running your life? The decisions you're making, are they pleasing to God? Are they pleasing to yourself? You see, Jesus in the garden prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. And that's what we're to pray is, God, your will be done in my life. Consider the sowing. Consider the selfishness. Then consider the spiritual here. You know, I'm glad all of this is not negative. He said in verse number 8, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. I want to say tonight, it don't have to be negative. I had to preach the negative to get to the positive. But thank God it don't all have to. It ain't that way for everybody. Well, Daniel didn't sow that way, did he? Daniel could have went down to Babylon. He could have acted like every one of the Babylonians. He could have went down there and ate the king's meat, and he could have lived in Babylon. And now listen, he could have been a Samson living in Babylon, doing whatever he wanted to. And here's what Daniel could have done. Daniel could have blamed everything on his environment. Daniel could have said, well, if I wouldn't have been taken into captivity, if I wouldn't have been forced to the king's table, if I wouldn't have been forced to eat the king's meat, if it wasn't for that, young people, he could have said, if it wasn't for all the pressure and the environment that I was put in, I tell you, I was living for God when I was back there in Israel and Jerusalem, but it ain't my fault that I was taken captive. It ain't my fault that these clothes was put on me. It's not my fault that I was to bow down and worship this false idol and pray to this false. I mean, Daniel could have blamed so much on his environment, but he didn't, did he? You know what Daniel did? It took them 30 days to make that 600-mile journey. And Daniel, I don't know if it was during then or it was way back yonder in Jerusalem somewheres, but he purposed in his heart, I'm not eating the king's meat. I may be in Babylon, but Babylon's not going to get in me. I'm going to sow. I'm not going to sow to the flesh. I'm not going to. Don't you think, hey, are you talking about a young 18, 19, 20-year-old boy, hungry? I mean, walked all those miles by foot, brought him there. And I'm talking about the best meat that could be made in that day and time was set before him. Don't you think that flesh rose up and said, Daniel, it's all right. Go ahead and get a taste of that. Your mom and dad's not here. You're in Babylon now. You're on your own. Mom and dad's not looking. They'll never know what you're going to do. You just go ahead and partake of that meat. I'm telling you, his flesh no doubt was screaming and saying, it'll be okay. But I'll tell you, something rose up in Daniel. I'll tell you what it was. It was the Spirit of God rose up in Daniel. And Daniel said, I won't do it. I'm not going that way. Hey, young people, listen. You don't have to go the way of the world. You don't have to sow the flesh. Thank God you can't live. I'm glad there's some young people still living for God. I mean, the devil hadn't got all of them. Amen. And when I see that youth choir get up and sing, I don't know how many of you are right with God and how many of you are not. I don't know your heart, but I know one thing. Listen, I don't know everybody's heart, but they sum up their right with God. I hope all of you are. But I'm glad that there's still a crowd. There's still a young generation. We don't have to take them to Daytona. We don't have to take them to a rock concert. Thank God you're here. You're singing these songs. We don't have to take them to some contemporary mess. Amen. We have to flirt with that stuff, but we sing the old songs, hallelujah. And there's a crowd that still wants to do right. You know what you're doing these days while you're here and you're coming up in this church, and you may be a young adult, but you're in this church. Look at all of them that's went out there and said, I'll go my own way. I'll do my own thing. Look how it's turned out for them. It's not turned out good for one of them. But I'll tell you, the ones that are still here, the ones that have stayed faithful, the ones that have lived for God, you know what they can do? They can stand up. They can testify, and they can say, I'm so glad I didn't sow to the flesh. I'm so glad I stayed with God in old time religion. I'm talking about, thank God, you can sow to the spiritual. Amen. I look back through my life. I made a lot of mistakes. I failed God so many times. But I've never been sorry, as the songwriter said, that I gave God the best years of my life. I've probably told it before, but I'll never forget two boys I went to junior high with. After I started about 2 years after, 1 year after junior high. Got saved when I was in seventh grade, and then it would have been in ninth grade. I started preaching down at the old county jail there, the two-story jail by the courthouse then. I'll never forget going up those steps one night. We'd go up there every Monday night. And we went to the top of those steps. There was a drunk tank right there. When you turned the corner, there was a four-man and a three-man cell right there. And in that four-man cell was two of the boys I went to school with. And I thought to myself, as soon as I saw them, I thought, had it not been for God, I'd been sitting there with them. We're best of friends. And thank God I got saved. No better than they are, but my life went one way. Their life went another way. I was able to tell them what happened to me. I was shocked to see them. They were shocked to see me. But I sat down there. I pulled a stool up, sat down. We talked for a few minutes before the service, and I got to tell them how I got saved. I got to tell them what God did in my life. But the whole time in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, oh, had it not been for the grace of God, I'd went down that path. I'd have wound up where they are. I'm telling you, you ought to thank God tonight. You're sitting in a real good place on a Wednesday night. You could be sitting behind bars. You could be sitting somewhere else. But God let you sit in church on a pew on a Wednesday night. I'm talking about a hallelujah. We can sow some things that have some eternal rewards. Amen. Thank God also, and it isn't bad. You can sow and enjoy it. Amen. You can sow in an enjoyable manner. You can sow in an eternal manner. Man, I'm telling you, don't you love going to church? And don't you love the Bible? And don't you love the saints of God? These are the best people on planet Earth. I'm telling you, living for Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to any of us tonight. I'd rather be an old-time Christian as anything I know. I don't want their booze. I don't want their dope. I don't want their parties. I don't need their music tonight. I don't want their fashion. I don't want their plans. Thank God I found something better. I like that old song that said, I found a treasure when I found the Lord. Amen. They can keep their filth. They can keep their problems. They can keep their parties and their sin. I say, thank God what we're in tonight. It's far better. Hallelujah. Because it's enjoyable and it's eternal. Amen. It's eternal tonight. We all can go home and not have to look over our shoulder. Isn't it good to lay your head down at night and not be guilty, not feel guilty? Oh, I feel guilty because I failed God and wished I was a better Christian, and I'm trying. But I tell you, I don't have to feel guilty tonight for the choices I've made in my youth. I don't have to feel guilty for the choices I made as a young man. And you don't have to neither tonight. You can sow. I want to say tonight, consider the spiritual. Then finally, consider the season. We find the word reap is found a fourth time in verse 9. As he said, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season, notice this, we shall reap if we faint not. You see, be faithful to sow good seeds. Be fervent in sowing those good seeds. Because there's a reaping day. There's a reaping day. Having a family altar, there's a reaping day. Going to church faithfully, there's a reaping day. Being faithful on Wednesday night, and I commend you for that. There's a reaping day. Maybe in this life, I'm sure it will to some degree, but even more so in the next life. Teaching a Sunday school class, whether it be 1 or 5 or 10, there's a reaping day for that. God doesn't care how many pupils you teach. He cares how faithful you are to teaching. God doesn't care how many people. I mean, in the sense of the gospel, I understand that. But God doesn't care about me personally how many people I'm preaching to. He cares about how faithful I'm going to be to preach what He tells me to preach. I want to say tonight, there is a season. Young people, we preach more to you, but it's just the way it is in life. And it's that way on purpose because it's not that you need it more. I think sometimes it's just there's so much ahead that you have to look forward to. And I can remember being a young person and I thought, man, they nail me every time they get up to preach. So y'all feel that way? Okay, come on now. Y'all respond. All right, I'll hunker down harder on you if not. No, I used to think, man, they nail me every time. Them preachers have got it out for me. No. You just got your whole life ahead of you. You got your whole life ahead of you. All of you, all you young people, you got so many years. If God lets you live, you got so much to look forward to. And the seasons of life come very quickly, very quickly. And what the devil tries to do is he tries to get you ahead of your season. Well, if you listen to your parents, you listen to your pastor, you look where you're at, you're stuck. Has the devil ever told you you're just stuck? You know why he tells you that? Because he wants you to get out of God's will. You see other people running further ahead. I think I said something about that Sunday night. Boy, life just seems to be going so fast for them. And you just said, here I am. I'm still sitting down here at Bible Baptist. What am I doing? Oh, there's a season. And I'm going to tell you what God does with seasons. Sometimes the Lord lets you be in a place where you feel like you're quote unquote just stuck. That's for adults too. To see if we will wait and not get weary in well doing. Because then there's a reaping day. Don't you think Joseph felt like he was stuck 2 years in a prison? After he'd tried to help. I always get the baker and butler. It was the baker got his head cut off, wasn't it? Or was it the butler? Was it the butler? The baker. I got baker and I got butler. So it's the baker, right? All right, brother, I'm going to trust you, Brother Danny, all right? Always get them mixed up. So the butler goes back, that's right, head in the basket. Butler goes back and forgets all about Joseph. Joseph could have got bitter for 2 years, but the Lord was with him. That butler really didn't forget him. God just didn't let him remember until it was time. And you know that's how God is in our life. Sometimes you'll think you're put on a shelf or you're forgotten or you're doing nothing. But really, it's just not your season. And I don't want to be out of season with God. Just keep, you see, what I do during that time, you just keep sowing. You keep sowing. Because one day there's a, you know, I didn't like sowing all that. You know, when I was a kid, all we cared about was, you know, bikes and baseball, ditches and sticks, you know. And I didn't like hoeing. I didn't like planting. I didn't like, you know. I see my dad's truck coming over the hill, and I could disappear like Houdini, you know. But I'll tell you what I did like doing. I like sitting down at the table and taking 2 pieces of loaf bread and a pink German tomato about that thick, and you cut it and it hang off both sides of the bread, and put about, you know, that much mayonnaise on top of it and some cheese. And I could sit down, man, when I ate that, I was like, that's good stuff, isn't it? I liked eating it. It's all that other stuff, but there's a season. There's a season. And tonight, what goes around comes around. You live for God, I'm going to tell you something, it'll come around to you one day. You live for God, one of these days you'll be reaping in areas. Brother Laddie, is that not true in your life? You're reaping, aren't you? And you're still reaping. And you're going to reap on the other side. You're just going to keep on reaping. You just live for God, Brother Danny. You're still reaping today. All those years living for God in your youth. But I tell you, if you sow the flesh, same thing's true. Years down the road, you'll still reap that. You can get right with God, but you don't want to keep reaping that kind of fruit. Let's stand tonight.